إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، من يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته، يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. After the khutbatul haja, which is a reminder of Allah. The khutbatul haja is a reminder of Allah. A reminder to return back to Allah and to be sincere to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all our actions. To be upon the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To not seek this dunya. To be afraid of the nafs and its desires. To be afraid that you will fall into transgression and sins. Wallahi, it's a reminder. And the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would begin with it in his exhortations. He would begin with it in his sermons to remind the people that what is to come is indeed serious, and what is to come they must listen to and pay attention to. For in it there is verses from the Quran, and in it there is al-hath or encouragement to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, and to follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to be free and far away from innovation and the evils of one's soul. What we are going to embark on now, inshallah, is the explanation of Usul al-Sunnah. Usul al-Sunnah of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, rahimahullah, a great Imam who died in the year 241 Hijriya, from the 3rd century, over 1,200 years ago. This great Imam, who was known for the patience that he showed, for his steadfastness, for his istiqamah, his uprightness in holding on to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in holding on and defending the aqeed of Ahl al-Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And many people, they may claim to know Ahmad ibn Hanbal, rahimahullah. But Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah, the more you know about him, you still don't know him. For indeed he went through sabr, where others in his time from the great imams, they chose to, yani, or very few chose to show the same sabr that he showed. While others in his time maybe fled the fitna, fled the trial and tribulation that occurred to them. But Imam Ahmad rahimahullah stood firm. Imam Ahmad stood for this aqeedah to salafiyyah, aqeedah to tawheed al-sunnah, the aqeedah which Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to teach. Imam Ahmad ibn Muhammad ibn Hanbal, the Imam haqqan, وشيخ الإسلام صدقا أبو عبد الله الشيباني المروزي ثم البغدادي أحد أئمة الأعلام, one of the great scholars. Imam الشافعي رحمه الله reported from him, and معتمر بن سليمان and محمد بن جعفر and عبد الرحمن بن مهدي, all of them reported from him. وعبد الرزاق بن همام and وكيع بن جراح and others, and many others from the ulama reported from him that he reported from, sorry, those that we mentioned, he reported from them, and those that reported from him are the likes of Imam Bukhari rahimahullah, and Muslim, and Abu Dawood, and Ibrahim al-Harbi, and his children Salih and Abdullah, meaning the children of Imam Ahmad, Salih and Abdullah. And incidentally, Abdullah, he has written
also Aqidah book called Kitab As-Sunnah, his own son. And there are Marwiyat of Abdullah and Salih in separate volumes that you can buy, the narrations that they narrated from their father. And this is available other than Usul As-Sunnah. And Abdullah and Abu Hatim Al-Razi and Abu Zur'a Al-Razi. And incidentally, we're going over, inshallah, the Asl As-Sunnah, the Aqidah of these two great Imams, Abu Hatim and Abu Zur'a, Imaman Al-Raziyan, these great Imams in the 3rd century. We are going over the Aqidah, Asl As-Sunnah in Markaz Mu'ad, inshallah. We started last Friday, and the explanation by Sheikh Ubaid ibn Abdullah Al-Jabri. And as for this explanation by Sheikh Ubaid, will be from Sheikh Rabi' Hafidhullah. This explanation of Rasul As-Sunnah. So other than them, reported from Imam Ahmad rahimahullah and narrated from him. So you can see he has great teachers, the likes of Al-Shafi'i rahimahullah, and he has great students, the likes of Bukhari and Muslim and other than them, who narrated from him. And other than them, for Abu Ubaid, he said, "Inni la atadinu bidhikri Ahmad." He says, this great Imam, he says, that rather I take my deen, or I refer my deen when I mention Ahmad, I take it as a matter of deen. When I mention his name and I mention his narrations, I take it as a matter of deen. And he said, "Ma ra'aytu rajulan a'lam bis-sunnah minhu." I have not seen a man greater in the sunnah than him. And qala al-Muzani. And Muzani, Imam Muzani, he has a aqidah book called As-Sunnah lil-Muzani. And Shaykh Ubayd Hafidhullah, this year he taught it in his masjid. Ahmad ibn Hanbal, he said, "Yawm al-Mihna," in the time of Mihna, the time where many of the Mu'tazila were saying the Quran is created, this misguided group who denied the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When they said the Quran is created and the Quran is not the speech of Allah, and Imam Ahmad rahimahullah stood firm and said, "No, it is the speech of Allah uncreated, that it is the Kalamullah ghair makhluq." And many people might say, "What is the problem? It's created or not created?" It is a big problem. Because the heaviest thing on Yawm Al-Qiyamah, the heaviest thing on the scales on Yawm Al-Qiyamah is your Aqidah. As Shaykh Rabi' Hafidhullah mentioned in one of his Sharia classes, that the heaviest thing on the scales is your Aqidah. And as for the Hadith that there isn't anything heavier than your Akhlaq on the scales, the Hadith which is authentic, there isn't anything heavier than the Akhlaq. Then Shaykh Muhammad bin Hadi Al-Madkhali explained it by saying, in the mu'amalat, there isn't anything heavier than your akhlaq. But in the aqidah, the belief of Ahlul Sunnah, this is the heaviest thing on the scales. And from the proof of that is the hadith al-bitaqa. The man who will come on Yawm al-Qiyamah with 99 scrolls of bad deeds, of sins that he has put forward. And that will be put on the scales. And he will think, "Khalas, I am destroyed." And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring out for him al-bitaqa. The card and written on it is La ilaha illallah, kalimat al-tawheed, on the other side of the scales. And he will think this is insignificant compared to the sins that he has. 99 scrolls of bad deeds. And this will outweigh all of that. The kalimat al-tawheed will outweigh all of that. And this shows you the honor of a Muslim who says La ilaha illallah. Because of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Inna dima'akum wa amwalakum wa a'radakum haramun alaykum," that indeed your blood, your wealth, your property, and your honor are sacred for you. كَحُرْمَةِ هَذَا الْيَوْمِ كَحُرْمَةِ هَذَا الْمَكَانِ. And on this day, he said that was the day of Arafah. And we know the sacredness of Arafah. The best dua is Yawm Arafah. Because it was Ashiyatul Jum'ah. It was on a Friday in the evening, the last hour on the evening. And it was in Arafah, the best in the Haram, considered to be a sacred place. So this great Imam, Imam Al-Muzani rahimahullah, he said Imam Ahmad, his, look how he likened him to great people, to great Sahaba radiallahu anhum. He said Imam Ahmad, his time or his greatness was in the time of Mihna, when he stood firm against the people saying the Quran is created. And this is important for us, because the Quran is the speech of Allah. So if you start saying the speech of Allah, which is from his attributes and from his actions, yani from his that and from his af'al, he speaks when he wills and to whomsoever he wills, if you deny that, eventually you will start denying the rest of the asma'illah wal husna wa sifatillah al-ulya. You will start negating many of the names and attributes. So Imam Ahmad rahimahullah recognized the seriousness of this matter, and he recognized that Tawheed is not just Rububiyyah, Lordship, but you have to maintain Allah's oneness in His worship, worshipping Him alone, calling Him alone in all the different aspects of worship, and also maintain Allah's oneness with regards to His beautiful names and attributes. You affirm that which Allah has affirmed for Himself, and you affirm that which the Messenger has affirmed for Allah Azza wa Jal. You don't deny it, you don't explain it away with knowledge you have not been given, ta'wil, nor do you distort it, tahrif, nor do you deny it, reject it, ta'til, but rather we accept it and how it has come according to the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we believe in it without deny it, without saying how, because we only say that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us. وَلَا تَكْفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ إِنَّ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَصَرَ وَالْفُؤَادَ كُلُّ أُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ عَنْهُ مَسْؤُولًا. Don't go into that which you have no knowledge, for indeed the hearing, the sight, the heart, all of it will be questioned. And incidentally, my dear brothers, mashallah, tabarakallah, we know brothers have gone out to study, and this is khair, and this is good. This is good, inshallah, if they go out for long periods of time, and then they come back and help teach the people. This is khair in it. Because the best duty, the best job, the best work that you can get on with is an-nasiha. Because all the anbiya were upon nasiha, advising the people to be upon tawheed and sunnah. This is khair. But be careful. Be careful. For Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah, he mentioned that nisf alim corrupts the deen. Half a scholar corrupts the deen. So how about half a talib? Half a student. He didn't learn enough. He wasn't grounded. Half a student. How about half a tawilib? Less than a student. What is he going to corrupt? So indeed, it's not just about memorizing. It's not just about yani sitting with the alim for a day or two. It's about going for long periods of time, staying with the alim, putting your knees with his knees, and staying with him until you finish usul al-thalatha, kitab al-tawheed, kashf al-shubuhat, and in books of fiqh, like for example Ibdat al-ahkam and Bulugh al-Maram, and going over these books of fiqh, and going over the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, studying Sahih Bukhari, studying other books. After 10-20 years, inshallah, there will be khair in you if you stick with the ulama and you refer back to them, just as these great imams. They would narrate from who? Great imams. And great imams would narrate from them. This is the sunnah. وَلَن تَجِدَ لِسُنَّةِ اللَّهِ تَبْدِيلًا. This is sunnah of Allah. How do ulama grow and how do ulama get grounded? They study, and they study, and they affirm, and they're patient with the ulama, and they're patient with talab al-ilm. And I advise all of the brothers, learn the Arabic language, learn the Quran, and go out and study your deen, and come back after 10 years or more. Study the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and be patient upon that, such that you don't take it just from translated lectures or just translated material, but you directly learn the Quran, the speech of Allah. The speech of Allah. It is very miserable that you reach 60 years old, you can't read Quran, or you don't know the ahadith of Rasulullah. This is so sad, Allah, that you Allah gave you this life and you didn't use it for the right purpose. Allah gave you this life, and the least, if you are still here and you are not able because of situations, then benefit from the durus that are on the internet, the live durus, that you can benefit directly from the elders, from the scholars of Ahl Sunnah, and from their books. And always, as Shaykh Ubayd Hafidhullah always mentions, if a problem occurs, then go back to the ulama, ask them. فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. And don't just stick to only one, but take from all of them. They are all our brothers. They are all our brothers, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the plural, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ. He didn't say this one, ask one. He said ask all of them. For many of the madahib, the people of the mutaassiba, who are blind followers of only one imam, and even that imam they don't follow, they know that they have innovated a new thing. Those imams didn't say follow only me. We never found in the time of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu said follow only me. We never had Sahaba saying I'm Bakri, this one saying I'm Umari, I'm Uthmani, I'm Alawi, or whatever. We never had Sahaba saying that. Rather, the Sahaba radiallahu anhu would take from each other, and in the end yani taken from the authentic sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Imam al-Muzani rahimahullah said Imam Ahmad was the time of the mihna, and Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu was the time of the ridda. Yani this is one of the times that he showed how great of an imam he was. And not only that, Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah says his time was not only the Ayyam al-Ridda, which was the time where many hypocrites themselves, they fled, and they were not firm to accept the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wholehearted and sincerely. So Imam Ahmad rahimahullah fought them. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq fought them. But he imposed upon them zakah. If they come back, they have to pay the zakah. Many of them didn't want to pay that. So Imam Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah mentions that not only Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu excelled, or he excelled in many cases, subhanallah. For he was the best of all of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came out one day and said, "Who of you is fasting one day?" Qala Abu Bakr, ana. Abu Bakr said, "Me." "Who of you has followed the janazah today?" Qala Abu Bakr, ana. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, "Me." And again, "Who of you visited a sick person today?" Qala Abu Bakr, ana. Whenever he mentioned a good deed, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu said, "It was me." The Prophet said, whoever gathers these traits in him, then he will be asked to enter paradise whichever door he likes. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah mentioned, when I went to visit him in Unayza, which was over 10 years ago, when we went there in order to see the Shaykh, to see how great this teacher is at that time, and how great he still is, when you can see him from his, see his benefits from his books. This was a great Imam Allah, a great faqih. And Shaykh Muhammad al-Banna hafidhullah said he is the Shafi'i of this time. Imam al-Shafi'i of this time is Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah. This man is a faqih, wallah. In Arabic language, if you want fawaid in the Arabic language, Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah has beautiful benefits. For he has explained not just Ajrumiyyah, but other books of the Arabic language. Even difficult books of the Arabic language like Alfiyah, and other than that, has explained it. And he was patient in explaining. If you see his books that he has done, subhanallah, his volumes, Majmu' Fatawa, 27 volumes. And 2 volumes came out this year new, so it was 25 before, 27 volumes. And his other books that in Aqeedah, the books that he has revived from the books of Ibn Taymiyyah, and before Ibn Taymiyyah, and the books of Fiqh, from the books of the Imam al-Hanabila. But he is not a Hanbali blind follower. For if you look at his Sharh Mumti', Zad al-Mustaqni', the Sharh of Zad al-Mustaqni', you will see that Imam, sometimes he accepts the position of the Hanabila, and sometimes he doesn't accept it based upon Dalil. So as for those who say that these were Hanabila, then know that they are incorrect in saying that. And all they have to do is open their eyes and read. And many people speak without knowledge. Nasal Allah Salama. Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah, in Usul al-Fiqh he has written many books. In Mustalah he has written. And he has taught these books in Unayza. So we went to see the Shaykh. Incidentally, that day that we went to see him, subhanAllah, he's explaining the hadith of Isra wal-Mi'raj. It was a Thursday evening. And the Shaykh rahimahullah, he explained the greatness of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu on that evening. And he said Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, in the time of Isra wal-Mi'raj, he showed that he was the imam, he was the best of the Sahaba at that time. Why? Because some of the hypocrites were going to the rest of the Sahaba saying, "Look, your Rasul, your Prophet is saying that he went not only to Aqsa, Masjid al-Aqsa in al-Sham, but also he went above the seven heavens and came there all in one night." They tried to cause doubts to the Muslims. What did Abu Bakr as-Siddiq say? If he said that, then I accept. Allahu Akbar. As-Siddiq. And Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, even with his greatness, even with his fadl, superiority and virtue, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, one day was seen, this hadith in Muwatta Imam Malik, he was seen one day pulling out his tongue. Subhanallah. Umar al-Khattab radiallahu anhu said, "May Allah forgive you. What are you doing?" So Abu Bakr as-Siddiq said, "This has brought me destruction. This has caused me destruction." So if this is Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu fearing for his tongue, how about us? Do you think it's easy to talk about Allah's deen? Wallahi, it's not easy. If you know it, say it. If you don't know it, don't say it. Maybe you make a mistake, yawm al-qiyamah, you're accountable. Sheikh Abdullah Bukhari, one time he mentioned, when we visited him to the house, he said, "Do you think it's easy?" Nini made us cry. The Sheikh said, "You say one word and you attribute it to Allah or his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah. If the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah said about him, وَلَوْ تَقَوَّلَ عَلَيْنَا بَعْضَ الْأَقَاوِيلِ لَأَخَدْنَا مِنْهُ بِالْيَمِينِ وَلَقَطَعْنَا مِنْهُ الْوَتِينِ If Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself, and he was the one who was given wahi from Allah Azza wa Jal, if he himself, if he said one word out of place from that revelation, then he would have been cut off, and we would have taken him from the right hand. We would have taken him up. Subhanallah, this is Rasulullah. How about us? It's not easy to speak about Allah's deen. So be grounded and be careful. Allah, this is the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is amana wallah. This is amana between you and Allah Azza wa Jal. And yawm al-qiyamah, some people will come who used to teach the people, and they will come and they will be going around the mill. Their insides, their intestines will be going around the mill in the hellfire. And some of those who heard him will say, didn't you used to order us to do good? He says, yes, I used to order you to do good, but I never used to do it. I used to forbid you from doing evil, but I used to do it. That's Allah salama. So this deen is heavy, wallah. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, kitab al-wahi, sahih al-Bukhari. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when revelation was being given to him, it was not easy for him. For he used to sweat. He used to sweat much when the Quran was being revealed to him. And it's heavy. The Quran is heavy. If this Quran was revealed on a mountain, it would crumble for the fear of Allah. And such is the similitude that we propound to men, that they may reflect. That they may reflect. The Quran is revealed to Rasulullah while he's on the camel. What does the camel do? It sits down. It's too heavy. The Quran is too heavy. It sits down. It can't even handle standing up, because the Quran has been revealed to Rasulullah at that time. It sits down. And the scholars explain, this shows you clearly how the Quran is not a book to play with. This is Quran. It's not a book that you misquote. This is the Quran. لا يأتيه الباطل من بين يديه ولا من خلفه تنزيل من حكيم حميد. This is the Quran. No deficiency comes from in front of it, nor from behind it, for it is revealed from the All-Wise, the All-Praised. So Imam Ahmad rahimahullah stood firm on that time for the Quran. And Imam Ahmad rahimahullah was known for that. And Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu was known in the time, as he mentions here, of the Ridda. And Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah adds, and also in the time of Isra wal Mi'raj, and other than it. The other situation that Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah mentioned that night was the situation of the death of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There isn't a greater musibah than the death of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's why the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever has a calamity, then remember my calamity. What is that? His death. Don't think your calamity is greater. Don't think Palestine or Iraq is the greatest calamity. Palestine is not greater than the calamity of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam leaving us. This is the greatest calamity, Ikhwan. This is the greatest calamity. And the fact is, we didn't receive the situation in Palestine, Iraq, except because we left the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, illa man rahim Allah, and left the Tawheed that we have been obligated to follow, illa man rahim Allah. And this is why we have this humiliation, because we did not fulfill that, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Nur, verse 55, وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ كَمَا اسْتَخْلَفَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ وَلَيُمَكِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ دِينَهُمُ الَّذِي ارْتَضَى لَهُمْ وَلَيُبَدِّلَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ خَوْفِهِمْ أَمْنًا يَعْبُدُونَنِي لَا يُشْرِكُونَ بِي شَيْئًا. That this is the wa'd, Allah's promises to amongst those believe and do righteous deeds. First of all, they have to correct aqeedah, and they must be upon amal al-salih. And thirdly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them the khilafah. Hizb al-Tahrir, day and night, are jumping about khilafah, and you see no sunnah in their face. You see no sunnah in the way they dress. Subhanallah. You see no sunnah. Naam, there is sunnah in the way you dress. وَلِبَاسُ التَّقْوَى ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ. Naam, there is sunnah in the way you dress. You raise your garments above your ankles. The man may say, but I'm not doing it out of pride. I'm not letting it roll out of pride underneath my ankles. There is a hadith. Naam, in Bukhari, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq said, I tried not to do it, and one of my sides falls. He didn't say two. You are trying to justify two sides. He said, one of my sides fall. The Prophet said, you are not doing it out of pride. He tried not to do it. What are you doing? Did you try not to do it? Is it just one side? And the Prophet said, ما أسفل ما بكعبيني ففي النار. There's no pride mentioned in that hadith. There is a hadith which mentions pride, and there's a hadith which don't mention pride. So whatever is below the ankles is in the fire. It's not for us. I don't make the rules. We don't make the rules, ya Ikhwan. This is the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal. Either you accept it or you don't accept it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Udkhulu fi silmi kaffa. Enter into Islam wholeheartedly. It's not our choice. You come into this life, you leave this life. Where are you going to hide? Aina tadhabun? Where are you going to go? There's nowhere out. you either Ashabul Sa'ir or Ashabul Jannah. Two options. People of paradise, people of hellfire. There's no third option. Sallallahu Salama. And he said also, Uthman radi anhu, Yawm al-Dar, and Ali radi anhu, Yawm al-Jamal, al-Suffin. So he mentioned some of the characteristics of the other Sahaba radi anhum, and where they excelled, and also the virtues of those great companions. So Imam Ahmad rahimahullah also, he stood first and stood fast. He was steadfast upon this great deed, and Allah will test each and every one of us to see who we are. Allah knows who we are, but this is for ourselves to be a witness over ourselves on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Because if your own hand is speaking against you, and your own mouth is speaking against you, subhanAllah, and you will say, what are you saying? And what will your hands reply? Antaqan Allah. This Allah is the one who made us talk. Alladhi antaqa kulla shay, the one who made everything speak, yani, if he wills. SubhanAllah. So everything will best testify against you. This is indeed justice. SubhanAllah. You go to a court system and your own hands speak against you? Is that happen? It doesn't happen here. But Yawm al-Qiyamah, that's the true justice. You may hide, but in front of Allah you cannot hide, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions, وَإِن تَكُمْ إِثْقَالَ حَبَّةٍ مِنْ خَرْدَلٍ فَتَكُمْ فِي سَخْرَةٍ أَوْ فِي السَّمَوَاتِ أَوْ فِي الْأَرْضِ يَأْتِ بِهَا اللَّهِ. So Luqman, if it is an atom's weight, just an atom's weight, مِنْ خَرْدَلٍ, يعني atom's weight of grain or something small, and it's inside a rock, or it's somewhere in the heavens, the skies above you, or it's underneath the earth, يَأْتِ بِهَا اللَّهِ, Allah will bring it out. So Allah subhanahu, no one can hide. And no one can hide behind the internet. People think they are safe in their own houses, and they think they can hide with hidden names. No one can hide, ya ikhwan. No one can hide from backbiting, lying, cheating, slandering, deceiving. All of these evil traits that a person may have, no one can hide from that. For indeed, al-yawm amal wa ghadan hisab. This day is amal, actions, and tomorrow is hisab. Some of the imma, they wrote whole books just on Imam Ahmad rahimullah, because of how great Imam was. From them is Ibn Jawzi and Imam al-Bayhaqi rahimahullah. And other than them, Wutufi rahimahullah, he died in the year 241 Hijriya. Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, one of his sayings, or famous sayings, he used to say, if the Ashabul Hadith are not the Firqatun Najiyah, the saved sect, I don't know who they are. And that's after he mentioned the hadith, تفترق الأمة تفترق الأمة على نيف وسبعين فرقة كلها في النار إلا واحدة. This is in his Musnad, Imam Ahmad, and also in Sunan Abi Dawood. And other than that, from the books of Al-Hakim, and is mentioned by many of the Sahaba in different wordings. In other wordings, افترقت اليهود على 71 فرقة وافترقت النصارى على 72 فرقة وستفترق هذه الأمة على 73 فرقة كلها في النار إلا واحدة. قالوا من هي رسول الله؟ قال الجماعة. In one narration, الجماعة. And what is الجماعة؟ ابن مسعود رضي الله عنه said, الجماعة ما وافق الحق ولو كنت وحدك. The Jews will split into 71 sects. The Christians in 72. My Ummah will split into 73 sects. All of them in the fire except one. They said, which one? He said, the Jama'ah. Who's the Jama'ah? Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu explained. They are the ones who are in accordance with the truth, who are there and agree to the truth, even if it's be on your own. Even if you are on your own. Like Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah. Even if you be on your own, then you are the Jama'ah. And likewise in the other hadith, which one, O Messenger of Allah? He said, من كان على مثل ما أنا عليه اليوم وأصحابي. As for the hadith of Jama'ah, sahih, no doubt. As for the hadith of مَا أَنَا عَلَيْهِ وَأَصْحَابِي, then it is حَسَن لِشَوَاهِد. There are so many narrations with different reporters, and different, they all support each other, that it is authentic, no doubt. And as for those who reject these narrations because they don't like these narrations, it goes against them, then we say to them, fear Allah, the A'imma used to accept them. Imam Ahmad rahimullah, after this hadith was mentioned to him, he said, إِن لَمْ يَكُونُ أَصْحَابَ الْحَدِيثِ فَلَا أَدْرِي مَنْهُمْ. If they are not from their companions, then I don't know who they are. And all you have to do is look at the books of Aqidah of the past, and you see this hadith mentioned time and time again. So what is the problem with the people? Except a diseased heart and ignorance. جاء في طبقات الحنابلة And also it is mentioned in Tabaqat al-Hanabila, which is a compilation which mentioned the different a'imma, يعني from Imam Ahmad rahimahullah and his students, and Ahmad ibn Hanbal في تفسير حديث النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يزال الله يغرس هذا الدين غرسا فقالهم أصحاب الحديث. Another wording that indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to plant يعني this deen. He continues to plant this deen on the earth. يعني it continues to be apparent and available. So he said they are أصحاب الحديث. Who's أصحاب الحديث? أصحاب الحديث the أئمة, those who heard and took from their scholars. So for example in today we have the likes of يعني from Sheikh Salih Fawzan and Al-Haydan, and likewise Abdullah Al-Ghudayyan, and likewise from the scholars of Medina you have the likes of Sheikh Abdul Mash'abad and Sheikh Ubaid Al-Jabri, and you have the likes of Sheikh Salih Al-Suhaymi and Ali Nasir Faqihi, يعني from the elders. And in Mecca you have from the likes of Sheikh Rabi' bin Hadi Al-Madkhali, and you have from the likes of other than them, يعني at their status, who are above يعني in their 70s, for example 30, 40 years in the da'wah clarifying the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there are other than them who are much younger, but they are from also Ahl al-Hadith, following this blessed path. And you have, alhamdulillah, these a'imma who follow their a'imma. So when you hear from them, you ask them, who did you study, who did you take your deen from? Or they themselves will explain, they took their deen from who, the likes of who. In Medina, who was there? You had Sheikh Muhammad al-Banna, hafidhullah, was in Medina. Sheikh Muhammad al-Banna, even Sheikh Muqbir rahimahullah mentioned him in his biography. He mentioned that I studied and I benefit from Sheikh Muhammad Abdul Wahab Marzuq al-Banna. Sheikh Muhammad al-Banna was and he's still alive today, 94 years old, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give him shifa at-tam, may Allah cure him from his illness. The Sheikh, and he asked for a good end, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give all of us a good end, and the Sheikh in particular. The Sheikh hafidhahullah, he was a neighbor of Sheikh al-Albani rahimahullah, and used to have a seat in the Haram in Masjid al-Nabawi, and used to have a seat in Masjid al-Haram in Mecca, and he was teaching the people khair, goodness. And in those times we have the likes of Sheikh Hamad al-Ansari, the great Imam, and the likes of Sheikh Muhammad al-Man al-Jami rahimahullah, used to teach in Masjid al-Nabawi also, and many of the scholars benefited from him, and the likes of Sheikh Muhammad Amin al-Shinqiti rahimahullah, and Sheikh Abdulaziz bin Baz rahimahullah, and Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah, and Sheikh al-Albani rahimahullah. We mentioned them. These great imams, they are the Ahl Hadith of this time, and they are the ones who followed the Ahl Hadith before them. For Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen Allah, Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah benefited from Muhammad ibn Ibrahim rahimahullah, and Sheikh Ibn Baz rahimahullah as well benefited from the likes of Muhammad Ibrahim, and Sheikh Abdurrahman al-Sa'di, the Mufassir of the Quran. And other than them, it is a sanad, a continuous chain, so that nobody, as Sheikh Salih Fawzan says, anyone who spouts out, you ask him where he studied, who he studied with, and what he studied. And if you, if the person hasn't done that, then Sheikh Salih Fawzan says, don't take from him. Why? Because this is silsila, chain. The Sufis have a silsila, but their silsila is bid'ah, full of bid'ah. Where did he get his knowledge? He got from another Sufi mubtadi' sheikh. Where did he get his knowledge? Another Sufi mubtadi' sheikh. And the most that they can say is, we know the unseen, we know if you prayed Fajr just by looking at your face, we know, yani, we have the Prophet's hair, we have the Prophet's shoe, yani, all lies upon lies upon lies. Taib. And your dhikr is upon bid'ah. This is silsila al-bid'iyyah. Innovated chain, and they continue, and it's cut off. Eventually you find it cut off, or it goes back to some of the heretics like Ibn Arabi, whom they themselves praise. Noam Keller praises him in his book Reliance of the Traveler right at the end. This is who you're praising, and you're speaking against Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah in the same book. Yani, where are you, upside down? Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah was from the great scholars in the 8th century, and many a'imma from his students. Is enough just to mention his students: Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, the Mufassir Ibn Kathir rahimahullah, the great Imam al-Dhahabi rahimahullah, and other than them, just enough to mention his students. Subhanallah. So from the qualities of Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, qala al-Qutayba, one of the scholars, he mentioned khayru ahli zamanina Ibn Mubarak. He died 110 Hijriya. He said he's from the best of our time. Now he's mentioning who's the best in his time. Just like I mentioned to you, the best of our time that the scholars mentioned, that I heard with my own ears. And he's saying now, who's the best in our time? Ibn Mubarak, rahimahullah. Thumma hadha shab. Then this young one who's coming up now, who's he? He says, Ya'ni Ahmad ibn Hanbal. الله أكبر. وإذا رأيت رجلا, and he says, if you see a man يحب أحمد, loving أحمد, فعلم أنه صاحب السنة, know that he is a companion of sunnah. الله أكبر. ولو أدرك عصر الثوري ولو نعم والأوزاعي والليث لكان هو المقدم عليهم. Even if he reached the time, in his time there was Sufyan al-Thawri, 161 Hijriya. In his time was al-Awza'i, the great Imam, Imam al-Awza'i, who has many statements adhering, showing you the adherence to the Salaf, and Layth ibn Sa'd, who was in Egypt, in Misr. Even though Imam Ahmad rahimahullah was in these great Imams' time, he said he would be ahead of them. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. He excelled. This is a fadl from Allah. يختص برحمته من يشاء والله ذو فضل عظيم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifies that fadl to whomsoever he wills. This is the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يذل من يشاء ويعز من يشاء. Allah debases some people and he honors some people. And Allah indeed honored the ulama. He honored the ulama, the likes of Imam Ahmad rahimahullah. And subhanallah, Ahlul Bid'ah, they don't know the likes of these great imams. You mention these names to them of the past, they don't know them. Why? Because they're not linked to the ulama of today. How can you say that which you don't have? As Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah used to say, فَاقِدْ شَيْءٍ لَا يُعْطِيهِ. The one who doesn't have something can't give it. He doesn't have it. So how do you expect him to know these names? And you see many of these takfiris, Ahl Bid'ah, يعني from حزب التحرير, takfir Ikhwan Muslimin, the Sufiyyah, the Sururis, all of these, the Qutubi, all of them, Jama'at Tabliq, ignorant upon ignorance. For indeed they do not know these names. If you mention to them these names, these great imams, they won't, if they heard of these names, they can't mention their books, because they never heard of their books. Like one of them, I remember, he said, Usul al-Sunnah, what is that? I said, Allah Salama, you don't know Usul al-Sunnah? Much khair has passed you by. And he said here, Qutayba also said, لولا الثوري لمات الورع. If it wasn't for Thawri, he says, Sufyan al-Thawri, the great Imam, then Wara would have died. Meaning that he's the one who revived Wara in this time. Fear and awe, and you know that. ولولا أحمد لأحدث في الدين. And if it wasn't for Ahmad being present, people will have innovated in their religion. And we say that today. لولا شيخ ربيع, لولا شيخ صالح فوزان, ولولا المشايخ في المدينة, الشيخ عبيد والشيخ عبد المسعب عباد والشيخ علي ناصر فقيه والشيخ, لولا هؤلاء الأمة لا أحدث في الدين, لا أحدث في الدين. And similar to that is the statement of Sheikh عبد الرحمن السعدي رحمه الله, يعني the teacher of Ibn Uthaymeen رحمه الله. What did he say? When he mentioned the verse, إنا نحن نزلنا الذكر وإنا له لحافظون. We have set down this dhikr, the Quran, and we are protecting it. He said, Allah is protecting this deen with the ulama. So every time a bid'ah appears, they expel it. And this is the same of the statement of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, يحمل هذا العلم. And this hadith is حسن لشواهد, many reports. They come together to show that this is hadith authentic. It is acceptable. يحمل هذا العلم, يحمل هذا العلم من كل خلف عدوله, ينفون عنه تحريف الغالين وانتحال المبطلين وتأويل الجاهلين. This knowledge will be carried by the trustworthy ones in every generation. The trustworthy ones. عدول, علماء, just. They will expel with this deen, they will expel the tahrif al-ghali, the distortions of the extremists. Wallahi, we have many extremists. Nasallahu salama. Jama'at tabliq are extreme with their ignorance. Jama'at takfir wal-hijra are extreme with their ignorance in calling Muslims kuffar because of major sins. Saying, oh, why all of the rulers are kuffar? Didn't you established the proof against every single one of them? Because the aqeer of Ahlul Sunnah, you don't call a Muslim a kafir unless you establish the proof. If it is specific ruling. We have general ruling and we have specific ruling. They have only one ruling. Generalize everybody, all kuffar. MashaAllah, tabarakallah. That means you don't know the aqidah and manhaj of a'imma. You don't know Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, when he knew the Imam and his time, the Ma'mun, he knew that he said a statement of kufr. Quran is created. Imam Ahmad rahimahullah didn't go out against him. He stood firm for the matter that the Quran is the speech of Allah. And when people came to him to say, let's do khuruj, let's go out, he desisted. He said no. Why? Because he knew that this man, around him there are evil people. Evil people misguiding him. So it is a shubha that he has, a doubt that he has, a confusion that he has. And so he has to establish the proof against him. If the proof is established against him and he accepts, alhamdulillah biha wa ni'mat. If he rejects, then he is the innovator who has rejected this proof. If he rejects that the Quran is the speech of Allah and so on, with proof and so on, khalas, he leaves the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal after the proof has been given to him, after the establishment of the hujjah. MashaAllah, tabarakAllah, you takfiri going around, no hujjah is established, and all you can do is make a blanket statement why all of them are kuffar. Establish the hujjah, ya Sheikh. As the scholars say, uthbutul arsh thumma anqush. Yani, establish that there is a throne, and then do the, you know, the naqsh, they call it naqsh in Arabic, which basically means the patterns on the throne. You want to do the patterns without the throne? Establish that there is a throne in the first place. وَإِيَّاكُمْ أَن تَكْتُبُوا. Imam Ahmad rahimullah, here, and Ahmad ibn Shihab al-Isfarini, he mentioned, سَمِعْتُ Ahmad ibn Hanbal, he heard Imam Ahmad rahimullah say, وَسُئِلَ عَمَّن نَكْتُبْ فِي طَرِيقِنَا. He was asked, who should we write from? Yani, who should we write from? فَقَالَ عَلَيْكُمْ بِهِنَا. Then he mentioned some scholars' names. وَسُفْيَان ibn Waqi' وبمكة ابن أبي عمر وإياكم أن تكتبوا. And he said, be wary, be warned that you write from, يعني أن أحد من أصحاب الأهواء, that you write from, and he narrates from and writes from anyone from the people of desires. Because he says here, قليلا ولا كثيرا, whether it's little or whether it is much, don't write from them. Then he says here, عليكم بأصحاب الآثار والسنن, be with the people of آثار, of narrations and sunan. And قال المروذي, مروذي, Imam المروذي said, قلت لأبي عبد الله, that's Imam Ahmad, I said to him, من مات على الإسلام والسنة مات على الخير. He said, the one who dies upon Islam and Sunnah, does he die upon خير? So Imam Ahmad رحمه الله said, اسكت, be quiet, بل مات على الخير كله, rather he died upon all good, he died upon Islam and Sunnah. الله أكبر. That's why it was heard from Imam Ahmad رحمه الله, when a man came to him and said, Alhamdulillah ala Islam. Do you know what he said? Was-sunnah. Ah, Allahu Akbar. Was-sunnah. Because many people say Islam. And nowadays we say the same. Alhamdulillah. If we hear somebody says Alhamdulillah ala Islam was-sunnah, we say to him, wa-da'watu salafiyyah. Why? Because many people claim to be upon sunnah and they are not on it. What is the problem with having, ascribing yourself to the best of the people? You have a problem with that? You have no problem with ascribing yourself to your country? You are Britani, Pakistani, Maghrabi, Yani Amriki. You have no problem ascribing to the country. We have a problem ascribing to the Salaf, the best people, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and saying that you are Salafi. You have a problem with that? Why should you have a problem with that? Ibn Uthaymeen rahimullah said in his book Aqidatul Wasatiyyah, page 34, whoever follows the Quran and the Sunnah and the understanding of the companions, then he is Salafi. Imam Ahmad rahimullah, when he mentioned Ibn Mubarak, Imam al-Dhahabi rahimullah, in his Sirah ilam al-Nubala, when he mentioned Ibn Mubarak, who died 110 Hijriyah, he said, Ibn Mubarak al-Salafi. And other than them, Shaykh Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah mentioned in his Majmur, volume 4, page 169, what did he say? He said, La aiba ala man adhara manhaj al-Salaf, madhab al-Salaf. There is no harm upon the one who professes and shows the madhab al-Salaf. بَلْ يَجِبُ قُبُولَ ذَلِكَ مِنْهُ. Rather, it is obligatory to accept that from him. Because مذهب السلف لا يكون إلا خيرا. It will not be except خير. وَاعْتَزَّ إِلَيْهِ. Before he said, وَاعْتَزَّ إِلَيْهِ. And he ascribes to it. What's the problem? You have a problem with that? You have a problem ascribing to them? The only reason, and I'm the one who asked Shaykh Uthaymeen rahimahullah personally, because there are the people that use it. Shaykh Uthaymeen doesn't say that, he doesn't hold that position that you should call yourself Salafi or not. I asked him personally in Hajj time, alhamdulillah, so that no one can come and say things in our ears without knowledge. Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, the only thing he was against was, don't use it as a hizbiyyah, as partisanship, such that you think that you are saved and everybody else is in the hellfire. No, alhamdulillah, we are Salafi, but wallahi, we fear for ourselves. We fear. How could we not fear when Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu is pulling out his tongue, fearing the destruction? How can we not fear? And the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, Umar ibn Khattab, looking at the fire kindling, and he says, can I be patient upon that? Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, the Prophet himself feared Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though he was promised paradise. The Sahaba radiallahu anhu of Badr, who fought in the battle of Badr, they feared, even though they knew they were promised paradise. Isn't that a fadl from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Look at that. Knowledge, if it benefits you, it humbles you. And knowledge which makes you arrogant. You look down upon people, I'm better than you. This is the way of shaitan. Ara khayru minhu, khalaqtani min nar, wa khalaqtahu min tin. This is the way of shaitan. Knowledge, if it benefits you, it humbles you. It makes you wish for your brother, wish for yourself. It makes you love for the sake of Allah and hate for the sake of Allah. As the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من أحب في الله وأبغض في الله وأعطى لله ومنع لله فقد استكمل الإيمان. He has perfected Iman because he loves for the sake of Allah. He hates for the sake of Allah. Allahu Akbar. This is how you should be with Ahl Sunnah. With a person who is upon this blessed da'wah. Should be love. In Sahih al-Bukhari, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, and it is mentioned in there, that the 70,000 people who will enter paradise without any reckoning, the first of them and the last of them, will enter upon the heart of one man. Look at the love between them. And Shaykh Rabbi Hafidhullah used to say, we never see the splitting that we're seeing today amongst us when we were tulab studying with the ulama. We never see that splitting and differing, and everybody has to enter into the fitna. Why? And he said, the ulama, before the fitna comes, they see it far away, it's coming. And the ignorant ones, the shabab, the youths, when the fitna has come, they didn't know it was coming, they entered it, and they go and run around the murky waters in it. Shab, 20 years old, young, and he has to say something. Why, akhi? Didn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, didn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, ما يلفظ من قول إلا لديه رقيب عتيد. Whatever emanates, except there is a raqib, atid. Whatever emanates from your tongue, except there's raqib, atid, over you, watching you. Subhanallah. And ever watch over you. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Fajr, as if we don't read Quran, إِنَّ رَبَّكَ لَبِالْمِرْصَادِ. Your Lord is ever watchful. And Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said, بِمَعْنَا, this means, يَسْمَعْ وَيَرَى in the tafsir. It means that he hears and he sees. Yani, aren't these verses enough for us? And the ahadith Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he said about the great pillars of Islam, the fasting, the prayer, and so on, and after that he said, shall I tell you what is going to, yani, what is going to lead all of this, like the one that leads all of this, and that is so important, than all of these? He said, and he took hold of his tongue, or he pointed to his tongue, and says, kuffa alayka hada. He said this. And Mu'adh radiallahu anhu said, we will be questioned. وَهَلْ نَحْنُ مُؤَاخَذُونَ. We will be questioned. We will be responsible about what we say. And he said, may your mother be bereaved. Meaning, may your mother be once again pregnant with you and then give birth to you again. Because you said this statement. نعم. And he said, وَهَلْ يَكُبُّ النَّاسِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ عَلَى مَنَاخِرِهِمْ, or in one narration, عَلَى وُجُوهِهِمْ إِلَّا حَصَائِدْ أَسِنَتِهِمْ. And how? And how the people on Yawm al-Qiyamah will be thrown into the hellfire from their faces or their noses. They'll be dragged and thrown into the hellfire except because of what their tongue said. And the Messenger ﷺ said, مَنْ يَضْمَنْ لِي مَا بَيْنَ لِحْيَيْهِ وَمَا بَيْنَ رِجْلَيْهِ أَضْمَنْ لَهُ الْجَنَّةِ. Whoever guarantees me what is, whoever guarantees that he will guard what is between his jaws, meaning his tongue, and what is between his legs, his private parts, I will guarantee for him paradise. Many narrations, ya ikhwan. Aisha radiallahu anha, all she said was, Safiya is short in the presence of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you have said a statement. If it was mixed with the ocean, it would change its color. Allahu Akbar. We say more than that. And yet now we have people speaking against ulama. This one, why do you have to get involved? Don't get involved, ya akhi. The affair is for the ulama. Leave it. Leave it. And this is wallahi nasiha to myself, first and foremost. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we guard our tongues always. We don't enter any fitna. Because fitna is evil. Fitna, especially affairs that are not for us. It's for the ulama. It's for the elders. Leave it for them. Not for us. And there were times in the past, there used to be, as Shaykh Rabbi himself, Hafidhullah, said, there used to be some kalam between Al-Albani rahimahullah and Shaykh Ismail al-Ansari. There used to be some kalam between them. Yani based upon Adilla and so on. And they said, we didn't get involved. So why Shabab get involved? Young man, in the beginning of his study, and he has to get involved. Don't get involved, ya akhwan. Don't get involved and save yourself, Allah, from the fire whose fuel is men and stone, Allah. Qala Salih, Ibn al-Imam Ahmad, Salih, his son, what did he say? وجاء دار لنا قد خرب فقال أبي إني لأرى الرجل يحيي شيئا من السنة فأفرح به. الله, look at this. And this is how we should be with Ahl al-Sunnah. Look what he said. His own son said that I heard my father say that we see a neighbor of ours and he gives a khutbah, a sermon, and he revives something from the Sunnah, and we love it. We become happy for it. This is how you should be. Happy for those brothers who are spreading the Sunnah of Allah. The likes of the brothers in Birmingham, for example. May Allah reward them in the Maktaba Salafiyya. And we don't say this above Allah's praise. We don't say this for any reason except for love for your brother, or wish for your brother, wish for yourself, and likewise, حب في الله والبغض في الله. And our love should be based upon the deen. It's not based upon other than the dunya issues. It's based upon the deen. When the Tabi'i visited visited Mu'awid radiallahu anhu and said, I love you. He went all the way to Sham just to say, I love you, and maybe benefit from him. Look at that. All the way to Sham. That's why we should travel to the ulama, because they are the inheritors of the prophets. He went all the way to Sham just to say, I love you. He said, by Allah. 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 Three times. And then Mu'ad radiallahu anhu said, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وجبت محبتي للمتحابين في يوم القيامة. Allah, the messenger said that Allah said, Hadith Qudsi, my love is obligatory upon those who love each other for my sake. Allahu Akbar. So we love each other for the sake of Allah. You love Tawheed, you love Sunnah, Alhamdulillah. You hate the Bid'ah, you hate the Mubtadi'ah, Alhamdulillah. You don't go on the same platform like those who sign with the Sufis, and in the name of maslaha, in the name of bringing about good, and they can't get out of it. No way they can get out of it, because none of the ulama upon that. You see Sheikh bin Baz rahimullah sign a pledge with the Sufis. You see Sheikh al-Albani rahimullah sign a pledge with Hassan Saqaf and Abu Ghudda. You only see fire from Sheikh al-Albani rahimullah refuting him. That's all you see. In his books, introduction of his books, you see lots of mashallah refuting him. Why? Because this is evil. Because bid'ah leads you to the fire. So the response is, refute it. Refute the bid'ah and its people. Don't love the bid'ah and its people. We hate bid'ah. Because the bid'ah, the Prophet said, كل بدعة ضلالة. Every bid'ah is misguidance. And Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu said, you find this in the books of the Sunan, like books of Aqidah, Al-Halika is Asad Sunan Jama'ah, and you'll find it in Sunnah of Al-Marwazi, and other than that, he said, كل بدعة ضلالة وإن رآها الناس حسنة. Every innovation is misguidance, even if the people see it as good. So there's nothing called bid'ah hasana, except in the dunya. Before they had camels, now we have cars. ما في مشكلة, no problem. In the deen, there's nothing called bid'ah hasana. All bid'ah is dalala. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was given concise speech and with much meaning, and he said kullu bid'atin dalala, and he didn't say illa, except. So all of it, khalas. So you should be happy and content and love. Show love. Sometimes you see some brothers, subhanAllah, long face. Smile, ya akhi. Smile to yourself, ya brother. Afshu salama bainakum. Bring love between you. The Prophet, this is what Abdullah ibn Salam said when he came to Medina. He said, I saw his face. I knew that this is a man who's the Rasul sallam. Just by his face. Allahu Akbar. Just by looking at the Rasul sallam's face. And he says, from the things that he taught us is, Afshu salama bainakum. Afshu salama bainakum. Give salam between you. And feed the people. Invite people to your house. Feed them, ya akhi. And pray when the people are sleeping. Three beneficial advice he used to give. قال السلمي, one of the scholars he mentioned, حضرت جنازة أبي الفتح القواس مع الدرقطني فلما نظر إلى الجمع قال سمعت أبا سهل ابن زياد يقول سمعت عبد الله ابن أحمد يقول سمعت أبي يقول قولوا لأهل البدع بيننا وبينكم يوم الجنائز. Imam Ahmad rahimahullah said, say to the innovators, between us and you is the day of the janazah. Alhamdulillah, we witnessed the janazah of Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah, and mashallah, tabarakallah, in the Masjid al-Haram, thousands of people attended the janazah of Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah. Thousands. And the likes of the other a'imma, thousands of people attend. In fact, even subhanallah, I mean, I didn't go, but I heard it. I heard from the great, I heard from some tulab, those who were with Sheikh Ahmad Yahya and Najmi rahimahullah, they said, subhanallah, when they went to his janazah, there was thousands of people who attended from all areas. It is like, because like Qarya, village, it is like all of the villages in the area came down to for the janazah of Imam, the great Imam. Allahu Akbar. So this is the case of the janazah. As for Ahl Bidah, they died. Nobody knows when they died. When was it? Did he die yesterday or not? And nobody knows. Did he go? Abu Ghudda, do you remember him now? Probably people don't even know who Abu Ghudda is. And he wrote some bad things. Hassan Saqaf, maybe he's still alive. I don't know. Allahu A'lam if he's dead or alive. But many of those innovators, they die upon a bad state. Now, with that introduction showing you some of the يعني, statements of Imam Ahmad rahimullah, then we move on to the Sheikh Rabi' bin Hadi al-Madkhali. And I will speak from what I have seen myself through the classes that he used to hold in Mecca. For he used to be the first of all, he was used to live in Medina, and he used to teach in the Al-Jami' Islamiyah, and he was the head of one of the Aqsam in Jami' Islamiyah, teaching the hadith and teaching and reviving the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, until he became well known amongst the scholars. From his teachers are the likes of Muhammad Nasiruddin al-Albani rahimahullah, and the likes of Muhammad Amin al-Shinqiti rahimahullah, and the likes of Muhammad Aman al-Jami. Other than them, the great imams of that time, he was with them. And from the likes of in the secondary, in Thanawi, from the likes of Sheikh Muhammad Abdul Hamid Razuq al-Banna, and Sheikh Muhammad al-Banna, hafidhullah, says he was the best of them in the classroom. He said, in the classroom, from those that are known, Sheikh Rabi' bin Hadi al-Madkhali. And Sheikh Muhammad Aman al-Jami, he's not from his teachers, he's from his Aqran at that time. Because Sheikh Muhammad Abdul Wahab bin Razuq al-Banna said, they were in the same class. And not only Sheikh Muhammad Aman al-Jami, rahimullah, also, he's, and they are from the Salafis, who until today, alhamdulillah, who are teaching the book and sunnah. As for Muhammad Aman, rahimullah, he passed away, and he has left much good from his tapes and so on that you can still buy or you can get free of charge from the Masjid al-Nabawi, because he used to teach yani in the Masjid. And likewise, you have in that time there was Umar Ashqar, but he became Ikhwani, as Sheikh Muhammad Abdul Wahab Marzuq al-Banna says. And likewise, other than him, Abdul Rahman Abdul Khaliq was in the class as well, and he also followed the Ikhwan al-Muslimin until today, where he until today has or heads and has cooperation with Ihya Turath. So whenever you see Ihya Turath and somebody coming from Ihya Turath, question mark, because they cooperate with each other. They cooperate with, they may give you a face as Sunni, and then afterwards they give you something else which is not upon that path. So big question mark. They may say to you, Sheikh bin Baz rahimullah says, they may say to you, Sheikh Abdul Muhsin hafidhullah says, but after that they go and cooperate with the misguided individuals. And Sheikh Rabi' hafidhullah advised the people not to cooperate with this, and he said to Sheikh Muhammad al-Anjari hafidhullah that they are more dangerous, their da'wah, than the Jews and the Christians. Their da'wah is more dangerous. Just like Imam Ahmad rahimullah said about some of the misguided groups, that they are more dangerous for you than, because a Jew and Christian is clear in front of you, is Jew, this one is Christian. But these individuals, they come and they may say, speak some sunnah, and in the end they give you bid'ah. So know that the affairs are not that easy in the da'wah. You have to have hikmah, you have to know who you are cooperating with. And unfortunately, many of those don't know. All those who got refuted, loot and bring them. Who do they bring? Muhammad al-Maghrawi. The ulama said he's takfiri. More than 15 scholars in two tapes, which I listened to my own ears, saying this is the way of Sayyid Qutb and the way of takfir. More than 15 scholars. And it's enough just to read his book, Aqidatu Salaf, the first page. You don't even have to go to the end. You don't even have to look through the book. First page. He says, Bay'ah is only given to, and then he mentions shurut, conditions. Who is it given to? And he mentions all these conditions. Yeah, and he maybe, it has to be like the Khulafa Rashidin before you give him obedience. And Imam Ahmad rahimahullah is in the Sulu Sunnah. What does he say? He says, hear and obey your leader, whether he is righteous or unrighteous. Taba'an, you don't obey him in the matters of evil matters. You obey him in the good matters. At-ta'atu fil ma'ruf. What this means is, you don't go out against it with your sword. Because if you try that, and they have tried that in Algeria, and they have tried that in Syria, and they have tried that in Egypt, what happened to them? They all got killed. They got killed, and they all they did was shed blood. And not one day the Khawarij bring of good. Not one day they bring of good. They occupy themselves with killing the Muslims, and they ask about the wing of the mosquito. They ask about the mosquito being killed. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Look at the ghulu that these people have. So they bring him Maghrawi, takfir. Where is the takfir? From his tapes. He says, one of the statements he says is that the aras, the weddings that you have in Morocco and other places, because there's a lot of sins that go on. Yes, there's ikhtilat, and this is haram, and there's music, it's haram. What did he say? He says that is similar. He calls that the worship of the calf, the golden calf. Like similar to the worship of the golden calf that the Jews did. The worship of the golden calf that the Jews did, or the calf that the Jews did when they made it out of gold and so on. What did it? That was shirk. How can you equate shirk with sins? Of course, sins are sins, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us far away from sins. But shirk is the greatest of all sins. And shirk, if you don't repent from shirk, you will be in the hellfire forever. As for sins, you are under the mashi'atillah, under the will of Allah. If Allah wills, He forgives you if you don't make tawbah. And if Allah wills, He punishes you. So he got refuted by the ulama, Imam Subayl, Ibn Uthaymeen rahimullah, and Sheikh Rabi' and Sheikh other ulama. They refuted him. They said he made tawbah. Where did he make tawbah? Let us see. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us to see Sheikh Muqbil. And many of the young brothers didn't see Sheikh Muqbil. Subhanallah. And it was great to see the Sheikh Muqbil. It was great to see him. Wallah. Sheikh Muqbil rahimahullah, rahmatan wasi'a. In Jeddah. And he used to go to Mecca for some gatherings with the ulama. And they were beautiful gatherings. Sheikh Muqbil rahimahullah with Sheikh Ahmad al-Najmi rahimahullah. And Sheikh Rabi' hafidhullah, Sheikh Muhammad al-Banna. All in the same place, same time. Great gatherings, wallah. Wallahi, great gatherings. Alhamdulillah, we have that tape and some of those tapes from that time. In Jeddah, the Sheikh, and from his traits is that he always asks you questions. In talab al-ilm. He was so great that he will always occupy you with ilm. And he would ask you, who are you studying with? We said Sheikh Ubaid and so on, in Medina. And the Sheikh, mashallah, what are you studying? And we'll tell him the books that we are studying. What are you? And every time he'll ask you what you, and then he'll test you to see how good your knowledge is. A hadith in 40 hadith. Ya Allah, which hadith is da'if in 40 hadith? And why? Like that. Who's the narrator? Who's weak in that? And why? And what did the scholars say? So, subhanallah. Allahu Akbar. Sheikh Muqbil rahimahullah. But unfortunately, the Sheikh, he became very ill. But even though he was ill, he would never complain. And may Allah reward the brother Abu Ziyad Khalid Baqais. He used to go to him every day with food, soup. Because the Sheikh couldn't eat that which is heavy and that. So you take him soup. And we go to him in the hospital in Jeddah. And the Sheikh, one time when we went to him, the first time in the hospital, he said, and this is a story I'm mentioning so that this is history. And history is important. History is important. Because you need to know what happened in the past. To link it now to why there is problems. Or why there are problems. Sheikh Muqbil rahimahullah, we came in and said, where are you from? Said, from Maghrib, Morocco. He said, tell Maghrawi straight away. I didn't, how am I gonna, I meant from Morocco originally. Tell Maghrawi that by Allah we are advisor to him. قل للمغراوي أننا ناصح له. With these exact words. وقد وعدنا, and he had promised us. أن يتراجع, that he was going to make تراجع, that he was going to take his errors back. والتراجع يكون كتابة. This is what he said. And the taraju' is to be written. And that he will give a nuskha to me and a nuskha to Sheikh Rabi'. A copy to me and a copy to Sheikh Rabi'. Allahu Akbar. After that we mentioned some brothers who go in there, we told them, this is what Sheikh Muqbil rahimahullah said. One of the brothers went to him and said, you know, about the tawbah that Sheikh Muqbil, he said, what tawbah? What tawbah? He said to the brother, you make tawbah. You make tawbah. So the a'imma, they go upon clarity. It's not, this is the deen. Awala and bara is because of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not because he is from this country, I'm from that country, and so on. It's not awala and bara. Love and hate for the sake of Allah, for the sake of this blessed da'wah to Salafiyyah. This is why we love and this is why we hate. We love those who are upon this blessed da'wah. And those who harm it or try to harm it and oppose it, we dislike them. Maghrawi and other than Maghrawi, they used to isolate themselves as if they don't need or have a need for the ulama. And likewise, we should not isolate ourselves from the ulama. We should be close to Ahlul Ilm. For all of them are our brothers, and all of them we love. And other than him, they bring Abu al-Hasan, they bring all of these ones. Where is your wala and bara? Is it from wala and bara, يعني, to discard what is said about the Sahaba radiallahu anhum? Is it from wala and bara not to worry about someone speaking ill of the Sahaba? Abu al-Hasan said they are scum. Abu al-Hasan al-Ma'rabi, he said they are scum. And then he made tawbah in Medina. And then after that, what happened? Sheikh Rabi Hafidhullah says he went to Jeddah, he gave a lecture in Jeddah after the tawbah, after he visited Adnan Ur and other than them. And after he said in the same majlis to Usama al-Amri, who said that to Sheikh Muhammad bin Hadi, he said, my heart is inclined to separating. After you've signed, my heart is inclined to separating. After you signed with the mashayikh that you ask Allah to forgive you for what you have done, for what you have said, saying that they are ghutha, scum. And other than that, speaking ill of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, saying he doesn't have, radiallahu anhu, saying that he has bad opinion over, even he wasn't free from bad opinion, from su' al-dhan, when he had bad opinion over Ibn Sayyad, who was yani accused of being the Dajjal at that time, because he is the one who brought about that bad opinion upon himself. So he deserved that, as Shaykh Rabi Hafidhullah said. The Sahaba deserve to have bad opinion for Ibn Sayyad as being the Dajjal, because he brought it upon himself. Because he said one time with Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, that people claim that I am the Dajjal, but the Dajjal doesn't have children, and I have children. The Dajjal can't enter Medina, and I'm in Medina. But then he paused. But if it was given to me, I would not reject it. Allah. It's what Ibn Sayyad said. So, does he have the right? Does he have the right to have bad opinion over him? Of course. So how you speak ill of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum? And then afterwards, when you make tawbah, you say, they don't know. In Jeddah, he said, after that, they don't know what Sabba Sahaba is. And those who are not sincere, they will say to you, oh, but Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Hafidhullah didn't speak against him. Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Hafidhullah, based upon what he heard from his tawbah. And he didn't add to that. As for those who heard other than that, from Shaykh Rabi' and other than him, then this is the ziyada. Don't we take the ziyada to ilm? Ziyada to knowledge. If it comes to us, we take it. So those who have been refuted, they cooperate with. So know that the Salafi is firm, and he sticks closely to Ahlul Ilm. He doesn't go around cooperating with everybody. He's refuted, he's bid'ah, and he's still, mashallah, is my teacher. Nasallahu salama. Sheikh Rabi Hafidhullah, he used to teach in Jamia Islamiyah, and likewise teach even in his house. One time he went to his house, he was doing 40 hadith. Look, subhanAllah, great imams, and they are teaching the books that are usuli books. Usulul Thalatha, Kashf Shubuhat, before that Kitab al-Tawheed, hadith, 40 hadith, 40 Nawawiyyah, teaching the usul books. From the Ajaib, and this is like Ibn Muhammad al-Wahhab, rahimahullah, when he says, min ajab al-ujab, from the most amazing and strangest of things, which we saw, somebody in America, teaching Fath al-Bari. MashaAllah, tabarakAllah. The Americans have reached that level of Fath al-Bari. Ya akhi, start with the usul al-thalatha, ya akhi. Tafsir. Fath al-Bari? Even in Medina, the great Imam Sheikh Abdul Masih Abbad is still doing the six books. He's on the last of the six books, Sunan Ibn Majah. Fath al-Bari is not something that you advertise and come and gather the people to teach. How long are you going to take? Allah ilk. Allah musta'an. So teach. The Alim al-Rabbani teaches the small affairs. كُنُوا رَبَّانِيِّينَ مِمَا كُنْتُمْ تُعَلِّمُونَ الْكِتَابَ وَمَا كُنْتُمْ تَدْرُسُونَ. What you learnt and what you teach. This is the Alim al-Rabbani. He teaches the small affairs first, the beginning, the foundations, and then he moves on to the next affairs. What time is Maghrib? 10 past. So we'll finish this introduction after we've mentioned about Imam Ahmad rahimahullah and some of his famous statements and the A'imah, what they said about him. The Sharih, the explainer of his great book, Usul Sunnah, Sheikh Rabi' bin Hadi al-Makhli. Sheikh Rabi' Hafidhullah, just recently, alhamdulillah, we saw him last Friday, and the Sheikh Hafidhullah he gives salam to the brothers, Sunni Salafi brothers in Britannia, in England, wherever they are. He says, give them salam. The Sheikh gives salam to the brothers and the Muslims in the Yani. He says, give them salam. And also, he gave some words of advice. And from the words of advice that the Sheikh Hafidhullah gave, is that you concern yourself with teaching the people, busy the people with ilm. And we asked him, and some of the books, what do you think, Usul al-Sunnah and that. And Alhamdulillah, this is from his advice, that to go over Usul al-Sunnah with the brothers. And he said, if you've done other than that, Usul al-Thalath and that from before, Alhamdulillah, khair wa ni'mah. And if you haven't started that, and Usul al-Sunnah, incidentally, this is a book, Alhamdulillah, which we've already translated, explanation by Sheikh Ubaid ibn Abdullah al-Jabri, which you can get from Markaz Ma'ad. You can get that with the Sheikh's own voice. About 17, 18 sittings going through his four tapes that he gave. And this sharh that he gave was to the Kuwaitis when they came down to visit the Sheikh, Sheikh Muhammad al-Andari and other than them, when they came to visit the Sheikh in a group. And the Sheikh taught them Usul al-Sunnah of Imam Ahmad. And he taught it more than once in Medina and outside Medina. And the second time he taught it was in his masjid. The masjid, Nafa' ibn Amr, which is the masjid near his house, he taught it, and that was 6 lessons. The other one's 4 lessons, and this one is 6 lessons, is 2 more. But for the love of this book, and the love of the Imam, as well as the explainer of this book, Sheikh Rabi' Hafidhullah, and from his advice as well, we chose to begin with this book. And inshallah we'll continue. It's not long. We can finish it inshallah by translating the words of the Sheikh and continue it. Sheikh Rabi' Hafidhullah, just before we came, some of the brothers mentioned that they just finished Sahih Muslim in his house. He has a group of brothers that read to him, and they go through the books of Hadith, and they busy themselves. When I was there, yani in Jeddah, and we used to go to Mecca in those days, about 8-9 years ago or more, the Sheikh Hafidhullah used to go over Sharia of Imam al-Durri, and he taught also Aqidat al-Salaf Ashab Hadith, and he taught his own book over the internet. And may Allah reward brother Muhammad Nadim for translating the whole of Manhaj al-Anbiya with the sharh of the explanation of Sheikh Rabi'. Now those tapes, they were scattered around, so we have to bring them together in order for that to be available inshallah. But that was those days, Manhaj al-Anbiya. May Allah reward the Sheikh, for he went through the whole Manhaj al-Anbiya, and it was on a Saturday, and Saturday was a working day. So Wednesday, so on Thursday, the Sheikh used to teach in Masjid Bin Baz in Aziziya, and he used to teach Fath al-Majid on the Thursday. And he, on the Friday, he used to teach Ba'ith al-Hadith of Ibn Kathir, and on the Saturday he would go over Manhaj al-Anbiya. And ba'Allah, those were golden days, wallah. Golden days for the one who wants to benefit. Because here is a great imam who has tazkiyat, Sharia of Ajurri, going back to Imam Ajurri. Because many of his tazkiyat, there is a big thick book that came out showing the isnad of the Shaykh that he has going back to the imams, the great imams. And I remember, just as I was looking through it, a Sharia of Ajurri, which he went through in his house. His isnad goes back to, after he took it from Hamad al-Ansari rahimahullah and other than him, goes back to the imam himself. So when you get these great imams and of this caliber, and Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah said of him that he is the imam of Jarh al-Ta'dil in this time. And there were many imams at that time available, but he said imam of Jarh al-Ta'dil. This doesn't mean that they are not from imams as well, but they are imams. Imam bin Baz rahimahullah, Shaykh bin Baz rahimahullah, he used to write to Shaykh Rabi' and say, please check this individual, what you know about him. Rasail, which we have seen with our own two eyes, and it's available. Check about this person, who he is. So know that Shaykh Rabi' Hafidhullah, just as Imam Ahmad rahimahullah was the acid test, know that he's the acid test for many of today. Many of today, when they don't quote from him, or they don't like him, or they and so on, so on, so forth. No, like the likes of Abu Usama, when he said, I saw something from him that which will not accept from him. What did you see? Until today we're still waiting. What did you see? The Shaykh, when you see this person speak about him, know that far away from him. I have nothing to do with him. This is our la and love for this deen, nothing to do with him, until he explains what he saw and he makes tawbah for what he said. And this is just one of many regarding that individual. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us all to tawheed and sunnah. This tawheed is not, and subhanallah, because of this they say you are extreme. La ya akhi, this is love for the sunnah, love for the deen. You can't say something open and get away with it, speak against the ulama and get away with it. How? This is the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal. It's not a game we're playing. This is not a game. This is the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect this deen with ulama. So if either you're with them, alhamdulillah, biha wa ni'mat, or you are against them, and to speak out against them without any shame, if you have no shame, do as you wish. So the ulama, the likes of Shaykh Rabi' Hafidhullah, and all of them are our brothers. But the reason why we chose his book is the Shaykh, as we mentioned, the Shaykh Hafidhullah has mentioned that this is from, inshallah, people can benefit from it. Jazahullah khairan. And Shaykh's house is always open for the tulab. In his own house, he has mattresses at the back. Anyone wants to come, sit down, sleep in his house, and they can benefit from his maktaba. And just actually, when we went there, about 10 days ago, subhanAllah, he says, you have, mashallah, after his pieces of advice that he gave, he advised the brothers that if you want, that you can have mudhakara amongst yourselves, or you can benefit from the maktaba there. The Shaykh Hafidhullah was praised, and he's praised by Shaykh Muhammad Abdul Rahman Marzuq al-Banna. Not only by Shaykh bin Baz, rahimahullah. Not only by Shaykh Al-Bani, rahimahullah. Shaykh Muhammad Al-Banna said he is the Yahya of Ibn Ma'in of this time. In his knowledge of men, he is the Yahya Ibn Ma'in of this time. And he said, I used to be his teacher, he became my teacher. I used to be his teacher, he became my teacher. Look at the tawadu of the Shaykh, subhanAllah. And even though, in the big gathering where we said about in Makkah, the gathering with the ulama gathered, Shaykh Rabi', Shaykh Ahmad Al-Najmi, Shaykh Muqbil, rahimahullah, and Shaykh Muhammad Al-Banna, when some of the other mashaykh went to rest and there was only Shaykh Rabi' and Shaykh Muhammad Banna, Shaykh Rabi' out of his tawadu', he's kept quiet and let Shaykh Muhammad Banna answer all the questions. Allahu Akbar. And one time Shaykh Muhammad Banna went to his house, and more than once, but one time he went to his house and we were there, and it was a Friday, subhanallah, sitting down, Shaykh came in and he said to him, the Shaykh Rabi' stood up to hug Shaykh Muhammad Banna. And he said, Shaykh Muhammad Banna said, Ijlis ya walad. Because in this classroom, he used to say that, sit down. You sit down. And they would hug each other. And each one would try to pick the other one up. Subhanallah. In concluding, we cannot do justice to the likes of this great Imam, Shaykh Rabi' Hafidhullah. We cannot do justice. For the Shaykh is humble. The Shaykh has tawadu'. The Shaykh has love for the Sunnah and love for the Salaf way. And subhanAllah has much hikmah. And he takes on the problems of the Ummah and tries to help the Ummah around the world to the best of his ability. And he has written much, mashallah, tabarakallah. He has written much against Ahl Bid'ah. Books on the Sufis, books on the on Jama'at Tabligh, books on against the people of innovation. And he's written a much about the heads of the innovators. Abdurrahman Khaliq, he refuted him when he said that the Jama'at, they do not go on, they're not considered to be from the 72 sects. He refuted him. And others, because they were going to open up a door of evil. He refuted Adnan Urur, he refuted Maghrawi, he refuted many of those who nowadays loot and they bring them, refuted them. Why are you opening the door to that? When it was said to Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, he said, Imam Ahmad rahimahullah said, Ahlul bid'ah ma yanbaghi li ahadin an yujalishum. It is not allowed for anyone to sit with the innovators. Tab'an, if you're giving advice to him and you want khair for him, you're giving advice, and he's not mutakabbir and aneed and so on, alhamdulillah, maybe he'll accept. But you can't be somebody who's weak. You have to have the ability to reach out to him. He says, not allowed for anyone to sit with them. وَلَا يُخَالِطْهُمْ, not to mix with them. وَلَا يَأْنَسْ بِهِمْ, nor should he take them as a companion or as a friend, amicable friend. How can you walk in with him, side by side, as if nothing is going wrong. Ya akhi, advise him, yes, that's something else. Be patient and advise him, that's at the beginning of someone who doesn't know, who's ignorant, because many of the innovators, the heads, leave them. As Sheikh Muhammad Ibn said, don't bother yourself, because they won't change. They are not for you. But somebody who's a follower is ignorant, if you have the ability to talk to him or give him a tape or a book, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide him through that, alhamdulillah, biha wa ni'mat. But don't get involved with mixing with them, going to their conference, signing pledges with them, where, oh, so much love we feel with them, as Yasir al-Qadi says. So much love and brotherhood with who? With people of shirk and bid'ah. MashaAllah, how could it be? Nasallahu salama. So we have to have some wala and bara, love and hate for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. So in ending, and that is in Al-Ibana, volume 2. And even somebody who is known to be sahib fitna, many of the scholars, they say, don't sit down with a person of fitna. A person who's, he himself is put to trial, because he will make you as well put to trial. So be careful with sitting even with sahib fitna. He may not be Ahl Bid'ah. He may not be Ahl Bid'ah, but he himself may be sahib fitna. He's all fitna. Then be careful from sitting with that person as well, because he may give you fitna. Eventually, he'll drag you in. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us and make us of those who love Ahl Sunnah, and make us die having that love for Ahl Sunnah, and not just love, but acting in accordance to the Sunnah, Tawheed and Sunnah, until we meet our Lord. Because this life is short. One day we're going to leave it, each and every one of us, and we're going to meet our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. And wallahi, we would like to be with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba, but you will be with whom you love. أنت مع من أحببت وصلى الله وسلم على خير خلق الله محمد وآخر الدعوان الحمد لله بالعالمين